Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the blessing of just being in God's house today. I was sitting here thinking I'm a little bit hungrier than I normally am about this time. And I'm grateful for the extra hour of sleep last night, but I also realize I'm battling. You are normally at lunch right about now or getting ready to eat, so I'm aware of that. So if your stomach starts to grumble, just pass it off as an amen or whatever you need to do there. And that'll be good. And I love this day, but there's an adjustment, no doubt, in it. And grateful that you're able to be here. And how many of you had no problem getting to Sunday school this morning, right? Most of us did. We had an extra hour, so there's a blessing in that. And I'm grateful that you're in church this morning. If you take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 50, Genesis in chapter 50. And then if you'll also hold maybe Mark, Hebrews chapter 11 as well. And we're going to kind of go back and forth between these two passages of Scripture, Genesis chapter 50 and Hebrews chapter 11, this morning. And of course, Genesis chapter 50 would be the final recorded words of Joseph, that great man that God used in the Old Testament. And we're going to read that and study from that this morning. So if you're able to this morning, I'd invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to start in verse 22 of Genesis in chapter 50. The Bible says in verse 22, "And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees." And so the Bible reveals that his children and his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, he had an opportunity to have a relationship with them. And verses 24 and verses 25 are really what I want to spend our time this morning. The Bible says in verse 24, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And of course, we understand God's promise that the children of Israel were in Egypt at the time, but God's promise to them was that he would take them into the promised land. God would surely visit them. Verse 25, "And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, once again, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we're grateful for your blessings. We're grateful for those that have gathered here today in your house, Lord, and no doubt we've come expecting to hear from you. And Lord, we're so grateful for the music this morning. What a blessing it has been. Really, somewhat goes along with the message this morning, and I'm grateful for that, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us now, Lord. Help us to get exactly what we have need of. I pray that you'd help me as I preach. Lord, I need you today. I need your strength. And I pray for each and every person that has come, Lord, that you would use this message in their heart and life. Lord, apply it to them how they need to have it applied to their lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. Of course, we have the final words of Joseph, and we understand this. The final words of somebody are important to understand what they were thinking. And really, life has a way of kind of bringing that down to what is most important in our final hours. And so Joseph's final words would include the claiming of a promise and a request. The promise was this, that God will surely visit you and bring you out of Egypt. That God had something more for the children of Israel than living their lives in Egypt, and that God would along the way come and he would make this promise to them. And of course, you go back in the beginning of Genesis and you can study in Genesis chapter 12 that God told Abraham, I'll give you a land. And God even in Genesis chapter 15 told Abraham, listen, there's going to be a time in which the children of Israel are going to be in Egypt. And they're going to be under bondage in Egypt. But I'm going to come and visit them and I'm going to bring them out of this land. So there was the promise that God would visit them. And then the request. He says this, when God takes you from Egypt to the promised land, when it comes time to move, take my bones out of Egypt. Somewhat of an odd and really, kind of a morbid request. You imagine that being in your final wishes? I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and so if I were to say to my wife, if I died here in Indianapolis, would you, hey, listen, at some point, send my bones back to Cleveland, Ohio. A little bit odd, right? A little bit morbid. And yet, I want you to understand, this request has been recorded in three separate places in Scripture. We see it here, of course, and then we see it in Exodus in chapter 13. And I love that, and we'll look at it at the end of the message this morning. But Moses comes walking out of Egypt, literally carrying the bones of Joseph. It's an incredible thing, and that's recorded in Exodus chapter 13. But it's also recorded in Hebrews 11 as a great act of faith. In fact, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see that as well. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. An act of faith. On his deathbed to not only claim this promise, but to give them this command. Make them take an oath, really, to take his bones. And I want to remind you this morning, as we're gathered here today, that all of Scripture is important. That we don't just have things that are recorded in Scripture just for filler. I think of this often. In high school, if I had to write a paper, sometimes there were filler in there. All you educators here in this room, just close that one out for a minute, because teenagers do that. And they shouldn't, right, teenagers? You should not do that. But I want to remind you this morning that there are no fillers in God's Word. That everything has been recorded for us to learn from and to glean from. So the question this morning is, what can we learn from the request that Joseph makes about his bones? I really have just two things, and I don't intend to be long this morning. But the first request, or I want you to understand that Joseph's request reminds us, first of all, that we can have faith in God's promises. Amen. That we can trust God's promises. In fact, here's what I love about this. Joseph was claiming a promise. And he understood this. You can trust in the things of God. Listen, I love his final act here on this earth. His final act was an act of faith. In other words, listen, Joseph's faith probably was never stronger than on the day that he died. Isn't that an incredible thought this morning? I think about the life that God has given to me, and I trust that God would continue to grow and strengthen my faith all the way till my last day here on this earth. What an incredible thing that we see of Joseph. And so we find that his request revealed his faith in God. And you know, the truth is, if you would go back and study the life of Joseph, here's what you'd see. Faith over and over and over again. Faith when he was betrayed by those closest to him. When his brothers sold him into slavery, he had faith in God and what God was doing. He goes into Egypt and he's sold into Potiphar's house. And of course, Potiphar and his wife, they betray him. And he continues to have faith in what God was doing. He goes into the prison and he's again betrayed by people here on this earth. And yet he again has faith in what God is doing. On his deathbed, he has faith in what God is doing. And I want you to understand this. Though he was betrayed by those closest to him, we don't ever see him wavering in his faith in God. And there's a great reminder here that people will let us down, but God never will. In our human and in our earthly relationships that we have with people, they're going to let us down, but God never does. I think about those in my own life. I love my wife, and I want to be there for her, and I want to help her, but there are times, because I'm human, that I'm going to let her down. But I want you to understand, when we have faith in God, God never will let us down. And we find a valuable lesson here in the life of Joseph. No matter how many times you've been betrayed by others, God will always keep his promises. And we have to remember that. Because I want to remind you, listen, sometimes we tend to think of God in the manner that we think of other people. Well, this relationship let me down. This person promised this, and they never came through for me in this area, or maybe even work. This was supposed to happen, and it never did. And listen, if we're not careful, we can begin to put God in that box that we see every other person. And I want to remind you over and over again in Scriptures, we find this, that God keeps his promises, and that you can trust the promises of God this morning. You can trust that if he puts it in Scripture, it'll keep his promises. And so Joseph reminds us that you can trust in God's promises. I thought about some of the promises in Scripture this morning. I think about the promise that God makes to those who call upon him, that he will save you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. Can I tell you, there's no greater promise in Scripture this morning than the fact that God loves you and God has sent his son to this earth to die on the cross for your sins, and he extends this promise to you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not an exclusive group. No, that message goes to anybody. And I encourage you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, please don't leave here this morning without allowing someone to take the word of God and show you how you can know you would spend eternity with God in heaven one of these days. What an incredible promise that God gives to us from Scripture, that God, that we can call upon him and that he would save us. Listen, as we study the life of Joseph, as we study this passage, it's a reminder that God keeps his promises. I think about God's promise to his children. He promises his presence to his children as we live this life. Isn't that a wonderful promise that we have from God? As we go through this earth and we live this life, in fact, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let me read it for you. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. We're in the month of Thanksgiving, November, and everyone's mind is on the idea of being thankful for the things that we have in our lives. But did you realize you can be thankful every day of the year, not just in November? And God desires that we would be thankful. And God desires that we be content with such things as we have. Why? For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I remind you this morning, you are never, if you're saved, you are never alone. And God is always with you. Some of you this morning feel very alone here in this world in which you live. Maybe because of circumstances that you're dealing with right now, maybe things that you're going through right now. Maybe nobody really understands the things that you're going through. And maybe, quite frankly, you haven't told anybody because it's so personal to you. But I want to remind you this morning that while you may feel alone in this world, if you have Jesus, you are never alone. He promises his presence, and he's promising to be there with you. Some of you understand what it's like in the middle of the night to lie awake and worry and think about things. And yet I can just tell you, in the middle of the night, God is there with you. He promises his presence for his children. In fact, the Bible calls him in John chapter 16 and verse 7, the Holy Spirit, he calls him your comforter. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about today? We realize this world is, there's not a whole lot of comfort in this world anymore, especially for Christians. And yet the Bible reveals that he is your comforter. I love this because we also find the promise not only that he would save us, but the promise of his presence to his children, but I love the promise that God promises to meet the needs of the righteous. To take care of the needs that we have in our lives as we're following after him. And David would write this in Psalm 37 and verse 25. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. He says, this is my testimony throughout my life. When I was just a young man, all the way to this point where I am in my life as an old man, and really everywhere in between, this was David's testimony. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He says, God promises to meet the needs of those that are following after him. Over in Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 33, let me read it for you here this morning, because God would send his disciples out, those that were following after him. And in Matthew chapter 6, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount, which he's really just kind of discipling his own disciples there. And he says in verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He says, for all of these things do the Gentiles seek. Watch this. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And then he says this to his disciples, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek God first. Look to him, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can I remind you this morning that your heavenly Father knows the things that you have need of today? And as we're looking to him, as we're seeking him first, God has a way of providing our needs. I thought about the relationship that I have with my children. I'm a father, and I love them very much. And listen, I desire with everything that is humanly possible within me to meet their needs. I'd be quite embarrassed if they came to you and said, hey, my dad's not going to feed me lunch today, so can I come to your house and maybe you would have some food that you would give to me? Or they would come to you and say, I don't have any clothes to wear. Would you please buy me some clothes? I would be embarrassed by that. Why? Because as a father, I want to meet their needs. And I want to remind you this morning how much greater our Heavenly Father desires to meet the needs and help us as we live this life. And so we see the promises of God over and over and over again through Scripture. One of the reasons why you ought to be in God's Word today is because you need to know what God has for you in His Word. It could be that as you read God's Word, He gives you a promise for what you are dealing with right in that moment. And that's why we study, and that's why we read God's Word. So let me ask you this question this morning. Are you trusting in God's promises? Or have you lost faith in His promises? Maybe you're here today and you're thinking about a situation, and can I tell you, sometimes we don't trust God's promises because He's working differently than we expected Him to. You ever prayed like this? Dear Lord, I have this situation going on in my life, and really, this is what I want You to do in this situation. And if You just work things out this way, that'd be great. We go to God like that sometimes, don't we? We might be a little bit more spiritual, and we might tag on, Lord, would You do Your will in the end in this? But really, we're praying like we're directing God and what we desire for Him to do in our lives. And sometimes God works differently than the way that we prayed. And by the way, we can be thankful that God works differently than the way we prayed. Because the Bible reminds us that His ways and His thoughts are much higher than our ways and our thoughts. He's much greater. And listen, we all can think back to a situation where we prayed one way and God didn't work that way. And we're so grateful now that God didn't work in that direction. So can I tell you this morning, Joseph's request is a reminder that we can have faith in God's promises. I think about the children of Israel as after Joseph died, and every time they thought about the bones of Joseph and that request, listen, they were reminded of the promise that God will come and God will surely visit you and bring you out of Egypt. Why? Because we can trust God's promise. And then secondly, I want you to see this, Joseph's request is a reminder that we can have faith in God's plans. Not only can we trust His promises, but we can have faith in God's plans. I want you to go back to Genesis in chapter 50 and verse 25, because the Bible says, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. Can I tell you that was not only a promise, but it was a plan. And I want to remind you this morning that God's promises and His plans go hand in hand. And while you're waiting on God to fulfill His plan, God is working His promises in your life. He works together through those things. And so it's a reminder that we would have faith in God's plans. God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up My bones from hence. Have faith in God's plan. Can I tell you? God would bring the children of Israel out. Here's the caveat, though. In His perfect time. Not on the children of Israel's timetable, but in His perfect time. Joseph's request revealed his faith in God's plan. God will visit you in the future. Notice never once did Joseph look at them and say, it's going to be about 20 years and God's going to fulfill His plan. No, he said, God will visit you in His timing, in the future, according to His plans. And I would just remind you again this morning that we can have faith in the plans of God. Listen, God's plan for the children of Israel would take some 400 years to develop. That's incredible. I mean, generation after generation after generation before God would finally fulfill His plan. Can I tell you this morning, often we find in God's plan of our life that there are periods of waiting on Him. I don't know about you, but I'm not a very patient person. When the Folgers were being born, that was not a family trait that was given to us. Patience. And I dare say that most of us in this morning really don't have a whole lot of patience. And especially in 2022, we're used to having everything and conveniences right at our fingertips. And yet I'm not a big fan of waiting. And we live here in Indianapolis, and I sit on 465 almost every day, a couple of times a day. And I get mad. I'm just being transparent with you this morning. And you do too. And you know you do. I don't like to wait in traffic. My wife, she has this look in her like she tenses up when we're in traffic because she knows what's going to happen. I'm going to get mad. And it just gets awkward and all that kind of stuff. I don't like to wait in line. I try to choose the fastest line at the drive-thru, and I always choose wrong, 100% of the time. You got a 50% chance of getting it right, and 100% of the time I get it wrong. I don't know how that works. I don't like to wait for a table. We've left restaurants before and gone and waited at another restaurant because I don't want to wait. I'm not joking this morning. That is frustrating for my wife. But I want you to understand this morning, God is always worth waiting for. He's always worth waiting for. We don't like to wait, but if God has you in a period of waiting right now, can I tell you, he's worth waiting for. Continue to trust God's plan in your life. After Joseph's death, we see a couple different circumstances that the children of Israel found themselves facing. And while they were waiting on God to fulfill his plan, can I tell you, the first circumstance was that of prosperity or blessing. While they were waiting on God to fulfill his plan, there really was a time of prosperity in their lives. In fact, we could study in Genesis and we would find that they had their own land. The Pharaoh had given them the land of Goshen. It was a land that was very fruitful for what they had. And in fact, you study the beginning of Exodus in chapter 1, you find that the children of Israel are growing and they're multiplying. I mean, it's a time of prosperity. Not only that, we find that they had the protection of the Pharaoh. In chapter 50, in verses 7, 8, and 9, when Joseph took Jacob back to Canaan to bury him there in Canaan, the Bible tells us in verse 9, and there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. In fact, the Pharaoh had put some protections around the children of Israel. He'd given them some of the resources of the land, and if you will, they had some political protection. And I can just remind you that sometimes we can feel like we have political protection. And so there was a time of prosperity in their own minds. And then we also find that they had a restored family relationship. How many of you realize that Joseph was from a dysfunctional family? I mean, big time. You ever tried to sell your brother? You may have thought about it. You may have thought about it, but we don't do that, right? And yet God had brought them all together through the forgiveness of Joseph. And they're there, and they're in the land, and they had a restored family relationship. And I would just say this, it seems maybe that life couldn't get any better for the children of Israel. And yet Joseph's request would remind them, there's more to God's plan than a life of comfort in Egypt. And I would remind you this morning, praise God for his blessings here on this earth. But I'll just tell you this, there's more to God's plan than a life of comfort living here in the United States of America today. Sometimes we can get real comfortable with the things that we have going on. In fact, as I was looking at this, can I tell you that in times of prosperity, we must continue to follow God's plan and continue to look to God's plan no matter what? Because when life is good, we have a tendency to live like we don't need God. It's okay. The bills are paid. The house is warm. There is food. I think about those things often. Never really had to worry about those things in my life. Praise God for that. That's a blessing. But shame on me if I use that as an excuse to live like I don't need God in my life. And every one of us, can I tell you, there's a tendency. In fact, I thought as I was studying this passage, and I certainly can't be dogmatic about this, but I believe there would have been a temptation, at least at this time, for them to think, we don't want to leave Egypt. It's too good here. We have land. We have a restored family relationship through the forgiveness of Joseph. God has reunited our family together. It's too good here. And I wonder if God came and moved them at that time, if some of them would have said, it's okay, God. We don't want to follow your plan because life is too good here in Egypt right now. Can I tell you this morning, some choose to follow prosperity over following God's plan. They choose a life of ease. And we have it pretty good in America today, don't we? And yet sometimes God calls us to take a step of faith in an area. It's an uncertain step of faith. And we're thinking, man, I don't know if I really want to step out in faith in this area because I really kind of enjoy where I'm at right here in this life. And things are good here. Can I tell you this morning, the devil will easily distract you with things if he can keep you from following God completely. He'll set you up in a life of comfort and ease. And listen, I don't want you to get me wrong this morning. I'm thankful for God's blessings, and I'm thankful for God's prosperity. And I don't think any of us would stand up here and preach this fact that you need to make yourself destitute for the cause of Christ, and you need to sell everything that you have and go live and have nothing. But I also want you to understand, listen, just because we have things does not mean that we don't have a need of God in our life. We must have him. In fact, in Revelation, we find that it's possible for Christians to lose sight of God's plan in times of prosperity. Revelation chapter 3, I want you to turn over there this morning. Revelation chapter 3, we find the church at Laodicea, which by their own acknowledgement was a very wealthy group of people. They had things. The Bible says in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3, "And unto the angel of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth." This church that lived in their prosperity and had no need of God, it literally made God sick when he began to view them. Because he had placed the blessings in their life. And then they lived like they didn't need God. And then he gives this indictment. He says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." Can I tell you the devil's trap for the Christian is that we would sit and we would say, "I have this and I have this thing and I have that thing over there. And quite frankly, I just don't need God and his work in my life right now. Life is good." Can I tell you sometimes we can be lulled into a life of ease as we live this Christian life. We can go days without talking to God, without relying on him. And notice what Jesus says. He says, "This is what you say about yourself, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." He goes, "You see yourself having all of these things, and I see you as having nothing because you live like you don't need me. And I would remind you this morning, if you're in a time of prosperity in your life, first of all, praise God for that prosperity. Praise God for the blessings. You think about the songs that were sung here today, the goodness of God. Boy, how we could rehearse that over and over and over again in our lives. Thank God for the prosperity. And then lean upon God to show you how to live today and tomorrow and the next day. Have faith in God's plan. What if God calls you to take a step of faith in this area and prosperity says no because you like where you're at? Can I tell you this morning, have faith in God's plan. Joseph's reminder to them was this, that you can trust God's plan no matter what. Even in a time of prosperity, the children of Israel needed to look to the bones of Joseph and realize we can trust in God's plan. I tell you, in John chapter 15 and verse 5, the Bible says this. Jesus would say, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Listen, things are nice, but God is greater every time. It's great to have things. It's great to have blessings, but we need God. And how we need to rely upon him. You see, Joseph lived a life and really enjoyed a life of prosperity. And so I'm not saying those things are wrong, but he knew God had placed him in Egypt for that time. And Joseph could have died a legend in the land of Egypt, but he never lost sight of God's plan to one day give them a far better place, the promised land. Because it wasn't about Egypt. It was about God's plan. Eventually here we would find for the children of Israel that their prosperity turned to a life of difficulty. Can I tell you this morning, even in times of difficulty, we need to trust God's plan in our life. Amen. I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 1 now. Exodus in chapter 1. We find in verse 7, the Bible says, and the children of Israel were fruitful, and they increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. That's prosperity. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. Almost overnight, it went from a time of prosperity to a time of difficulty and affliction, which really is a great microcosm of the life that we live. Because there are good days and there are difficult days. And sometimes it feels like those days can turn just like that overnight. I mean, life is good. And then you wake up and you realize I've got this problem to deal with. There's this difficulty to deal with in my life. And can I tell you, for the Israelites, the time of prosperity would soon change to a time of difficulty. Look at verse 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. And some of you are here this morning and you say, that describes my life right now. Things were good, and then a circumstance changed. And the very word bitter would describe where I'm at in life right now. There's a bitterness because of the difficulties that I'm dealing with. This relationship was strong, and now it's not strong, and there's a bitterness. I had this going for me. This blessing was in my life, and now it's gone. There's a bitterness. And yet, can I tell you this morning that Joseph's bones would be a reminder of God's purpose and plans, even in difficulty and affliction. That though you may find yourself in a bitter place in this life, can I tell you there's more to this life than this life, and we can trust God's plans no matter what we go through. Even in a time of difficulty, we have to trust God's plans. Can I tell you this morning, sometimes in difficulty, we tend to think that God has forgotten about us or that God has forsaken us. We're there and we're dealing with this and we're thinking in our minds, surely if God was in this situation, if he was working on my behalf, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through right now. And there's a tendency to think that God has forgotten about us. And the truth is this morning, if you're God's child, God sees and knows exactly what you're going through. He's aware of it. You go to the book of Psalms and over again, what does David say? I cried to the Lord and he heard me. He was aware of what I was going through. He had his eyes on me. He knew what I was going through. Why? Because we understand this. Listen, even in difficulty and even in affliction, God is there with us and God is continuing to work his plan. We find that in Israel's life, he was at work on their behalf, working in unusual ways. We find there in the book of Exodus in chapter 1, he used government-appointed midwives to save the male babies. He worked through the government-appointed midwives. In fact, the Bible says in verse 15, the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiprah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. We see the wickedness of the devil right there in the scriptures. And we're reminded of the day and age in which we live, in which there's great wickedness going on in our world. And sometimes you wonder, how can a government be behind some of these things that we would call wickedness? Well, we see it was happening in the Bible times, and it ought not to surprise us when it's happening today. But look at verse 17. But the midwives feared God. It did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men, children alive. God put some government-appointed midwives that said, listen, we know there's a powerful king here, but we know there's an all-powerful God. We're not going to fear the king. We're going to fear God. Here's what I remind you, that God was working in the midst of their difficulty and affliction. All they saw was circumstances, and they might have had a tendency to forget about what God was doing, but God was working in the midst of their circumstance. Not only that, I love this, he used the Pharaoh's own daughter to rescue and raise Moses, to house him, the very Moses that some 40 years later God's going to bring back to challenge the Pharaoh to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And by the way, he let Moses' mom be involved in the training process. Why? Because in the middle of the affliction, you know what God was doing? He was working his plan, just continuing to work his plan over and over and over again. Going to remind you this morning, if you have faith in God's plan for your life, even in difficulty, you will see God at work. Amen. So start looking for it this morning. You're in the midst of difficulty and affliction today? Open your eyes. Look for God at work in your situation. If you're a child of God, can I tell you, he promises to be there with you in the midst. He promises to meet your needs and to work out those things, because I remind you this morning that God's promises and his plan, they go hand in hand. He has not abandoned you where you're at, but sometimes it's just a matter of us opening up our eyes and watching and seeing God at work in our situation. By the way, I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter 11, because I want you to see this, and we're almost done, just another minute or so. In Hebrews chapter 11, we find that Moses' parents are recorded, and they have an act of faith in seeing God in the midst of their affliction. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Can I tell you that Moses' parents, they saw affliction, and they saw bitterness, but they also saw God. Amen. And who knows, in their mind, what part Joseph's bones played in that. Who knows if they thought back to, the request that was made some almost 400 years ago by Joseph, that we bring his bones out knowing that God will surely visit us. And there was a time of prosperity, but now we're in a time of affliction. And yet there's a reminder that God will surely visit us. And therefore, we have all this going on around us, but we have God above us. Amen. And God is working his plan. I love it. Finally, we come to the day in Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. The Bible says in verse 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, the day would come when God would visit his children and work his plan, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent where they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence from you. I often think, and kind of how my mind works, maybe every generation had someone that was in charge of the bones of Joseph. And when it came time for God to fulfill his plan, maybe they would be the one, and they would be the reminder, hey, listen, it's time to go out of Egypt. We have to take Joseph's bones with us. And yet the day came, and I just envision Moses walking out of there with a box, who knows what. Let your mind go crazy about how this would have worked, but the idea there, as he carries the bones of Joseph, realizing, listen, God has kept his promise and God has worked his plan. Amen. And I want to remind you this morning, the bones of Joseph, 3 different times in scripture, an odd request, a morbid request. But there's one thought that we can pull from that, and that is that God will always keep his promises and God will always work his plan. And this morning, we can trust God's promises and we can trust God's plan. So every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know how the Lord may have used that in your life. I certainly don't know what you're going through, but I realize this, all of us are going through things. Maybe it's just a reminder, while circumstances are good, that we would continue to follow God's plan no matter what. And perhaps maybe you found yourself in a set of difficult circumstances. Can I remind you that you can continue to trust the promises of God? Maybe there's someone in here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Can I tell you, God promises if you'll receive Him, that He will save you and He'll receive you. And this morning, someone from in the front can take a Bible and show you from God's Word how you can know for sure and have a relationship with God. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we're thankful, Lord, for your promises and your plans in our lives. Lord, and how you work them in our lives. And what a powerful reminder from the Word of God, from the bones of Joseph, Lord, that you keep your promises and you work your plan. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, help us to apply this to our hearts and our lives. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.